be familiar with cairns, piles of stones gradually added to by people who passed by to mark the route, to be a place to stop and think and pause for breath, to admire the view, to think about the next stage of the journey, or to perhaps as to mark a place that, if it's a pilgrimage, is of particular significance in a spiritual sense. The Bible story could be described as a pilgrimage marked not by stones, but by trees. The story begins in a garden, where we find the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man falls into temptation and discovers good and evil, and God quickly realizes that man is not ready to be let into the secret of the tree of life, and he's rejected from the garden. Trees are given to man to use in all sorts of ways, and if you think about the biblical story, think of the way the trees were used to build Noah's Ark, to construct the Ark of the Covenant, to build the temple, to be used in sacrifices. Trees were always there for man, a constant reminder on the one hand of his early disobedience, and on the other as a part of the richness of creation to be used by him creatively. As the story unfolds, God's people are exiled and their precious temple is destroyed, but their skills are not lost. Exile eventually comes to an end, and the people return to use their skills in the rebuilding of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. And then there is another cairn, another tree, just ahead. It's the cairn that we come to today. Another piece of wood, another tree. Salvation history is coming to a climax. How poignant, how ironic almost, that God uses a carpenter's family to enter his creation as one of us. In those early days, immediately after the crucifixion and the resurrection, particularly as recorded by Luke in his second book, The Acts of the Apostles, he refers constantly to the cross as a tree. The apostles, Peter, and later Paul, often describe the events, and this is just one of them, "We are witnesses of all that he did. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him." Some years ago I visited an open-air exhibition in the Holy Land where there was a display of artifacts that would have been familiar in first century people in first century Palestine. A wine press, a mill, a sheepfold. But what impressed me most was the display of some crucifixes. They were emphatically not beautiful sawn and planed crosses, but rough pieces of wood cut to length and lashed together with rope. At once this was surprising and shocking. Surprising because it made me realize that the Romans would not have been bothered too much to put a lot of effort into making a carefully sawn timbers to make a cross to put to death a few robbers and rebels. And it was shocking because it was hard enough to contemplate the agony of being nailed to the sort of cross that we're familiar with, symmetrical and a bit sanitized, but to imagine the victim's body being twisted by the crudity of the construction and the roughness of the wood was almost too much to imagine. In a way, I'm pleased that the cross that we have here in church is actually made of rough timber, because it helps to remind us very clearly, very starkly, what those early Christians meant when they challenged their hearers that they had nailed the Lord of glory to a tree. Who would have guessed that this tree would become the most significant cairn in the Bible story? This is the tree where we look back to the tree of life with which the story began, and where we can look forward to discovering fully what the secret of the tree of life is all about. But today we must grasp why this tree is so important. A chorus that I learnt in my teenage years, you'll be glad I'm not going to try and sing it, came to mind as I thought about this. On Calvary's tree he died for me, that I his love might know. To set me free he died for me, that's why I love him so. This cairn that we come to today is the most important cairn in the Bible story. This is the place where God's story, his desire to let you into the secret of life, meets your story and challenges you to join him on the path that leads to life in all its abundance. That is, to set you free to know his love. But this is much more than a matter of personal faith. For at this tree, the whole of God's people are challenged to renew their commitment to seeking first the kingdom of God by showing God's love in our acts of love and sacrifice. But it is still more than that. Here, the whole of human history reaches a turning point. Our calendars tell us that we live AD, not BC. The cosmic Saviour challenges the whole of his creation as it groans for its freedom to become as God intended. This is the way Paul put it. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. During the strange events over the past year or so, many have asked why. Why all this suffering? Why did he or she die? Today's events, of which we're reminded as we pause at this tree, this cairn, in human and biblical history, are the starting point for answering such questions. But first, we shall have to discover why the death on a Roman cross of a controversial carpenter turned itinerant preacher from Galilee 2,000 years ago should matter now. We wait patiently to see what happened 3 days later. Amen.